You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Coming up, the Marshfield School District is in hot water following allegations last year that two school officials discriminated against a student when they cast actors in their performance of The Sound of Music. We'll get the details. First, the most popular presidential candidate among millennials during the 2016 race was a 75-year-old Democratic socialist. Bernie Sanders held a strong appeal for young voters and one that his Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton struggled to get. As a group, millennials are known to have a more favorable view towards socialism than previous generations did. Andrew Hartman is a professor of history at Illinois State University and author of two books, A War for the Soul of America, A History of the Culture Wars, and Education and the Cold War, The Battle for the American School. Andrew, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on, Judith.
Can you paint a picture for us of the millennial leftists that you've written about?
Sure. So obviously this came to people's attention, as you mentioned, in the 2016 Democratic primaries when young people, especially the age group between the 20s and 30s, were flocking to vote for Bernie Sanders. And so the biggest difference in the 2016 Democratic primaries in terms of all of the demographic gaps was the generational gap. And so people have been thinking about this generational gap. I happen to be one of those people, and I'm sort of putting it into historical terms. And the thing that sort of is most striking to begin with is that it seems similar to the generational gap that developed in the 1960s, but the issues are very different. The 1960s issues, of course, that brought young people out into the streets, oftentimes against their parents' generation, was the Vietnam War, first and foremost. Now the issue is the economy, an economy that young people are coming into the job market on since 2008 that has not been kind to them whatsoever. And the expectations for young people now is that they are unlikely to be able to attain the living standards of their parents and grandparents. And so there's a lot of frustration there. And one of the political responses by many young people has been to turn to the left. And so socialism, this longtime American bugaboo, has become somewhat popular amongst many young Americans. And I think it has a lot to do with the economic situation. It also has to do with the fact that these people grew up and came of age after the Cold War. And so there isn't the sort of communist Soviet threat, which of course, for many decades made Americans loathe to support socialist ideas and programs.
And as you said, Andrew, that new left of the 1960s was really coalescing around the anti-war movement, but also more social issues like women's liberation and access to birth control and freer cultural standards for behavior. But you're saying that this economic focus of the current young people who are on the left is really more similar to the old left of the 1930s. Give us a little sense of what the main themes were for that generation.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's my argument. In the 1930s, of course, as hopefully everyone knows if they've taken just the most basic U.S. history class, this is the decade of the Great Depression. It's the greatest crisis in the history of the American economy, the history of capitalism. At one point, a third of the employable people were unemployed, and many, many hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of people turned to the left during the 1930s, and the main focus was economics. In the 1930s, even the American Communist Party reached its sort of zenith in terms of numbers and influence, but there were other manifestations of this leftward turn. The labor union movement of that time period became extremely militant. It grew. It extended its reach into a number of different industries where the labor movement had not gone previously. And all of this coalesced to pressure, in many ways, the Democratic Party of Franklin Delano Roosevelt to pass legislation that became the New Deal, that became, I guess, the social democracy that formed the bedrock of the American economy from the 1930s up until maybe the 1980s.
We're talking with Andrew Hartman right now. He's a professor of history at Illinois State University, and we're looking at how millennial leftists today have more in common with the leftists of the 1930s, perhaps, than those of the 1960s. And some, as you said, many people are kind of thinking about this and turning this topic over, Andrew, and some are saying, well, you know, all of these millennial socialists, in quotation marks, don't actually understand what socialism really is, and what they think they're supporting really isn't socialism when you go by the definition. How much credence would you give to that argument?
A little bit. So they're, you know, the millennials who are on the left are a varied group of people. There are an increasing number who I think are becoming pretty sophisticated in their understanding of the theories and history of socialism. But you're right that the majority of Bernie Sanders supporters in 2016 probably didn't have that sort of broad and deep knowledge of socialism. And so for them, socialism might have equated to some of Bernie's platform points, for example, free access to higher education, universal health care. These are the types of extremely popular, ideas, policies, for many Americans, not just millennials, but especially for millennials who are entering the job market not only with not great job prospects, but also with vast amounts of student debt and having a difficult time sort of navigating the healthcare system, even with the advantages of Obamacare. And so you're right that these are just basic sort of social democratic policies that are oftentimes being equated with socialism, which to me speaks to the fact that here as we sit in 2017, the economic situation is so bleak that what would have seemed sort of moderate in the 1950s has become to seem radical or socialist.
You talk about the podcast Chapo Trap House, a popular leftist podcast that you describe as a voice of millennial leftism. Here's a clip of one of the hosts critiquing the reported Democratic Party slogan for the 2018 midterms, which is, quote, a better deal, better skills, better jobs, better wages.
Yeah, back to the actual slogan itself. Better skills is such a tell because, like, that is just like unreconstructed Clinton, third way Clintonism from like way back in the 90s. Like, this is the whole idea that like education is the way out of poverty. That like people just need better education to get the better skills that they need to get the better wages, rather than just saying better jobs, better wages. Putting better skills up front puts the onus on the worker to be like, well, you know, it's really your fault, the reason that your wages have stayed stagnant for 30 or 40 years.
Andrew, what gives this podcast a distinct millennial and leftist flavor for you?
I think it's that it is irreverent in its approach to mainstream Democrats, sort of mainstream liberal media especially. And I think that amongst the millennial left, the coming-of-age leftists, there's a sort of vacuum in terms of the media, and Chapo Trap House and other venues have sort of filled that vacuum. And, you know, they've become wildly popular for it because to the eyes of a lot of these millennial lefts, they're just speaking the truth and a truth that needs to be told.
How much traction do you think the ideas of the millennial left have right now among other millennials, and do they have a chance to influence generations coming up behind them and older than them?
So I think it does have some traction, and one of the things that we might point to is the fact that, you know, when you look at generational political attitudes, they don't tend to change, and so people in their 20s form a political view, and they tend to stick to that view. It sort of goes against the grain of the old adage that young people are liberal and older people are conservative. It's not necessarily true. And so I think it will gain traction, and as the millennial generation grows older and becomes more in positions of leadership, I think we may see this leftward move gain traction. if the economy stays the way it is, I think that younger generations will follow suit. I don't think, though, that the younger generation is necessarily influencing the older generation. And so I think there actually is a generational gap. And oftentimes, historians push back against notions of, you know, like generational difference, because it seems like a way for many commentators to talk about how the present moment is so vastly different than the past, when historians often like to talk about continuity. But I actually think there are moments when this, when it makes sense to talk about generational difference. The 1960s, that made sense, and I think it certainly makes sense right now.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Andrew, the 2018 midterms are coming up. As we said, millennials were largely supportive of Bernie Sanders. What do you think Democrats and the Democratic Party leadership is going to have to do to bring them into the fold and get them excited for the midterms?
Well, I think that we're going to continue to see this divide that we in the Democratic Party that we saw in 2016. It's sort of a war for the soul of the Democratic Party between the Bernie-crats and the sort of mainstream Obama-Clinton leadership. And I think this will continue into 2008. And if the sort of older, more established leadership wants to have an enthusiastic embrace of the party by younger people, they have to make real moves to incorporate some of their views and policies into the mainstream of the party, and they have to not sort of block some of the people, stand in the way of some of the people who want to run for office, who want to run for party leadership positions, who are emerging from the sort of millennial left or Bernie-crat side of the party.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Judith. I really enjoyed it.
Andrew Hartman is professor of history at Illinois State University. He joined us to talk about how a number of millennials on the left are identifying with socialism and the old leftist movements of the 1930s.